Good morning. First case for argument this morning is Pamela Jordan versus Tom Ridge. Is that Mr. Darst?
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. This case should be an easy case for the Court of Appeals to reverse for the reason that the district court ignored the evidence on a motion for summary judgment, which is prohibited by the Supreme Court case of...
Speak up a little bit.
I'm sorry. Which is prohibited by the Supreme Court case of Reeves versus Sanderson Plumbing Products, Inc. The district court... ignored, for instance, the agency's, in this case the defendant's, own written statements, such as the EEO counseling report, which was prepared by the Customs Service, memorializing the statements and admissions of the Customs Service managers. The EEO counseling report was not only made a part of the administrative record, but was also included in the complainant's complaint. And then that shows that it was sent by the regional office of the Customs Service EEO office. And it was also then included in full at Complainant's Exhibit 83. And it was testified to by the EEO counseling counselor herself to the fact that those employees and managers made those admissions. Now, the district court ignored the fact, for instance, that a plaintiff supervisor lied about her performance. The supervisor had not even seen her performance and was relying upon an accountant's observations by the name of Ron... I don't have his last name right here.
Ron. We'll call him Ron.
All right. But Ron testified that the manager's statement was a lie, and he told that to the EEOC counselor. And then the EEOC counselor memorialized that in the EEO counseling report. That was the report of the Customs Service. Then after the EEO counselor wrote that, the EEO counselor contacted the second-line supervisor. His name is Ron Wyman, excuse me, okay. W-Y-M-A-N. Then the EEOC counselor contacted the second-line supervisor, which is sometimes called branch chief, sometimes called a group chief. He's the one between the supervisor, who's also called a manager, and the director of the National Finance Center, who was Mr. Diaforli. So Tom Smith was the supervisor in between those two, the supervisor and the director. Tom Smith then got involved and called Ron Wyman, the accountant, into the office and threatened Ron Wyman, said, do you like working here in this section? And Ron Wyman told the EEO counselor that he considered that a threat to him, that he would be transferred if he didn't change his testimony. He did not change his testimony and continued to tell the EEO counselor that Pam Jordan had done a good job. Now, Pam Jordan had been previously rated excellent in her performance evaluations. She had also been previously described by her previous supervisor as an excellent employee. That was the supervisor of the IRO unit, the Internal Recurring Accounts Unit. And so not only was his testimony in favor of Ron Wyman's testimony in favor of Pam Jordan, but it was consistent with her performance being an excellent employee during those previous years as well. Branch Chief Tom Smith got mad at Ron Wyman, Ms. Jordan's witness, plaintiff's witness, and even told the EEO counselor when the EEO counselor and the EEO director advised him that the witness was protected under the anti-discrimination laws. Tom Smith said, well, it would be hard not to retaliate against him. and just a blatant statement that it would be hard not to retaliate, which is pretty strong evidence of retaliation.
Against him?
Yes. Evidence against him in favor of Ms. Jordan. And it's
you're saying there's some intimidation against him that would cause him. The claimant's Ms. Jordan.
That's correct. Well, it was her witness, and so they retaliated not only against her, but also against her witness. When you go so far as to do that, it's a pretty bad retaliation. I'd like to save my remaining minutes.
But can I just ask a question?
Yes, ma'am.
About the FFT versus the IRO? Is there any evidence in the record that work on that forfeiture fund team was more important for promotion than work in the IRO where she was assigned?
Yes, there were several pieces.
And what is the evidence?
Pieces of evidence on that. Number one, a complainant testified that she was doing accountant-type work on the forfeiture fund team. Secondly, that was more complicated work than the IRO. As a matter of fact, IRO in and of itself, the name itself indicates that it's monotonous recurring work. IRO is internal recurring obligations, which is just bill paying. And the supervisor of that unit testified that it was just monotonous work. It was work that entry-level people, new employees, usually did, and was not the more complicated work of the forfeiture fund team.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Ms. Richards?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I'd like to address the question that was asked as to whether there's any evidence in the record as to whether the work on the forfeiture fund team was more important than the work on the IRO or the internal reoccurring obligation team. The evidence is that the work done by the accounting technicians on both these units were the same. They differed slightly, but that they used the same job descriptions and the same grade structure applied. It's also the evidence before the court that the work performed by the reoccurring obligation unit was critical to the mission and the performance of customs. It was the payment of these bills, the working with the vendors, that allowed the agents and the offices throughout the nation to continue to operate. And indeed, if there were shutdowns or terminations of those services, the mission of customs could be compromised. So the work on the IRO unit was very important and critical and played a part in the reason why Ms. Jordan was not permanently reassigned to the forfeiture fund team in 1996.
Well, is it true that no white employee who was detailed from the IRO unit was returned to the IRO unit to do the bill paying work?
There's no evidence of that in the record.
Now, one of the positions you take is that the department was busy ending its fiscal year in September 1996, but couldn't she have been reassigned at some other time?
Your Honor, Ms. Jordan, no, she could not have. And Ms. Jordan requested a permanent reassignment to the forfeiture fund team. A position or an opportunity did not come up until the end of the fiscal year for 1996. The forfeiture fund team is a specially funded team, and positions cannot be arbitrarily created. There became a position that was available and in September of 1996, and it was at that time that both the placement of newly hired accounting technicians and Ms. Jordan's request for this permanent reassignment were considered.
Let me ask you this. I know it's your position as well that the customs didn't act in a discriminatory manner, but if experience is important in promotions, and if some customs supervisors acted improperly, let's just assume that, and denied minority opportunities for new experiences based on race, how would a minority employee get the necessary experience?
In this case, Ms. Jordan did gain experience, and it's undisputed that she worked for an extended temporary detail, 8 months, in 1995 on the forfeiture fund team, and that indeed she worked with an accountant doing accountant duties. So she was given quite a bit of experience. And in fact, during her career, the undisputed evidence does show that she worked on several units within the commercial accounts. She was on a special team that was trying out new accounting processes early in her career for 2 years. She was permanently reassigned to the forfeiture fund team just 2 years later at the first opportunity after her request.
One final question relating to her performance during the interview, which you made note of. Isn't there some possibility that the interviewers could be biased or were biased?
In this case, there is no evidence that the interviewers were biased against Ms. Jordan. And in fact, when you look at the circumstances of that non-selection, it's undisputed that this announcement was let government-wide and that it was seeking to employ operating accountants from a GS-5 to a GS-11 range. The Indianapolis office itself wanted to hire as many GS-11 12s as possible because they were hoping they wanted to achieve an unqualified opinion on their financial statements, and they needed experienced accountants. The rating was actually done on the applications in the Washington, D.C. office by three neutral panelists. Two were African-American women. One was a Caucasian woman. It's undisputed that none of the three knew Ms. Jordan or anything about her. She was rated based upon what she presented in her application, and at that time she had served the 8 months on the financial forfeiture fund team as well as these other assignments. Based on what she put in her application, she was rated 13th or ranked 13th out of 16 on the GS-79 competitive register. In all of the registers, and there were several, both alternative staffing registers, competitive registers, and veteran registers were provided to the Indianapolis office, and the interviews were held. Five GS-11-12 accountants were selected from an alternate staffing register, and under the union agreement, customs could select from that register without any reference to the competitive registers, and that's because those individuals on the alternative staffing registers were already experienced and they had already been performing their duties at that level. Once those five individuals who had MBAs, CPAs, and years of experience were selected, it was impossible to select Ms. Jordan from the GS-79 register under the rule of five, which is part of the union agreement.
What GS level was she?
At the time she applied, she was a GS-7 accounting technician, and she applied for a GS-79 operating accountant position.
Now, what did you say about GS-9-11 accountants and CPAs?
The selection of the GS-11-12s from the staffing register, though the selection of those five individuals prevented selection of Ms. Jordan.
Well, she wasn't eligible for that one then?
No, she did not apply for that one.
Okay, so
there was no
why is that even in the equation?
As to whether...
About hiring her. Does that have anything to do with her job?
There was a...
At that level? I'm not.
It does in that the operating accountant positions that were being filled in the customs office could be anywhere from a GS-5 through a 12. There were no set number of 5 to be hired, 7s to be hired. And in fact, the undisputed evidence is that customs wanted to hire as many GS-11 and 12s as possible so that they could achieve this unqualified opinion on their financial statements.
So those 5 were 11 and 12 that had these other qualifications?
Yes, Your Honor. And by that selection, it was then impossible to select Ms. Jordan on the GS-79 competitive register because the union contract required application of a rule of five.
And that's, and does that come into this rating where she was 13th out of 16?
She was rated 13th. That plays a part, Your Honor, yes. She was rated 13th of the 16 on the competitive register by a panel in Washington, D.C.
And that was based on earlier. The one you referred to earlier. The one
yes.
who didn't know her.
Yes. Yes, Your Honor. A neutral panel that looked at her application, applied the same crediting plan to all the applications, and rated her accordingly. These are really a simple case based on these two incidents. Further, the plaintiff's main argument is that the district court didn't consider the evidence that they provided, that she provided. But the court did consider the emails and the memos that Ms. Jordan provided. It considered the evidence concerning Mr. Sims. It considered the email from Mr. Smith from June 1999. It considered plaintiff's EEO complaint. These are mentioned in the entry. The court itself said that it considered the presented evidence in making its decision. Based on the evidence before the district court and the law as applied, the district court properly granted summary judgment to Customs, and Customs would respectfully request that this court also affirm that judgment.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Darst?
Thank you, Your Honor. As to the question about whether there was evidence that the interview panel was biased, there was evidence, and this, of course, is on a motion for summary judgment where the evidence must be considered. The evidence was pretty strong about this. The senior member of the panel was Dave Sims, and he was the supervisor who had, against whom complainant had previously complained. And then when she went to District Director Dia Forley and complained about Dave Sims grooming white females in particular for accountant positions, Dia Forley admitted to her that, yes, Dave Sims was a problem in that regard. Dave Sims was the person who had assigned the white accounting technicians to special projects and details where they were gaining experience. And then Ms. Jordan asked them, well, how do you get these? And they said, well, just ask Dave Sims. And she just asked Dave Sims. And he assigned her then to opening the mail, which was not accounting experience. It was a rather humiliating assignment for a person with an accounting degree and a person who was asking for experience. Dave Sims is also the person then, the only one of the three panelists that wrote the word no on his notes. They were printed, actually. It looks like they were printed after the interviews. And then Dave Sims was the person who had previously been over the other two panel members and therefore had some experience and influence over them. He had supervised both of them. He had even promoted Judy Starling, who was a white female and who was on the panel. So he had supervised both of the other panel members. He also got the he got the papers for the other panel members and distributed them, and then he conducted the interviews of the candidates in his office.
Let me ask you this. On the non-selection claim, once the decision was made to select 5GS 11/12 applicants, didn't the merit plan's rule of five, which counsel discussed, didn't that prevent Jordan from being selected? Because when that goes into effect, no one under that group of five would get considered.
That is correct. But the two previous steps before that prejudiced her in that the crediting plan did not credit any education, which is what the candidates were told was the primary qualification. She had the education, and instead of crediting the education, the crediting plan credited the alternative criteria of experience and said over and over again, experience, 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 and that's what she was denied. She was denied a detail for many years until 1995, while all of these white employees were given details, and then she was even removed from that detail in 95. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. That case will be taken under advisement.